Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Health insurance rates in California are about to go up. Cover California, the state's insurance exchange, has announced that starting in January, premiums will jump 13% on average. The rate increases will apply to people who purchase their own coverage, not those who receive it from work or government programs. According to Cover California, 1.4 million people have enrolled in the state's insurance exchange program. A 13% rate hike is more than three times the increase over the last 2 years. The rate hikes will vary depending on where you live and which insurance provider you have. So what explains these hikes? What are the average costs of health insurance in California? And what are we getting for our money? Today's guest, consumer advocate Jamie Court, says we're paying more for less. Insurers are limiting access to doctors and hospitals while also demanding higher prices. Jamie Court is president of Consumer Watchdog, a nonprofit public interest group, and he joins us from Los Angeles. Hi, Jamie. Welcome back to the show.
My pleasure to be back.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Emily Bazar, senior correspondent and columnist with Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit news service. Kaiser Health News is an editorially independent program of the Kaiser Family Foundation and is not affiliated with the health insurance company Kaiser Permanente. Emily's column, Ask Emily, addresses readers' questions and concerns about the Affordable Care Act and other healthcare topics. And Emily joins us from Sacramento. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. So, Emily, tell us, who does this rate hike apply to? According to reports, it applies to people who buy their own coverage and people who do not receive government assistance.
That's right, Rose. It applies to people who purchase their health insurance, so families and individuals in California who purchase their health insurance through Covered California. In some sense, you know, 90% of those people, of the 1.4 million people who currently have Covered California plans, actually do receive a form of government assistance in the form of tax credits. And those tax credits reduce the amount that they have to pay in their monthly premiums. So this applies to them, but it also applies to people who purchase their plans on the open market. You know, if you make too much money to qualify for tax credits, there's not a lot of reason to purchase through Covered California, so you can buy on the open market. The same plans that are available on Covered California are also available, the exact same benefits at the same price on the open market.
We can talk about this more later in the show, but a few friends are currently on the market and they've been comparing Covered California versus the open market. And I mean, the premiums are over $300 on the low end.
Yeah.
What would you say is more affordable, Covered California or the open market?
Well, it completely depends on whether or not you can, you may have more choices on the open market that you don't have in Covered California, but again, the same plans that are on Covered California are available on the open market at the same price. But if you make beneath 400% of the federal poverty level, and I can, if you're interested, let you know what that amounts to, you would qualify for tax credits, and in that case you should buy from Covered California because those tax credits will reduce the amount you have to pay each month in your monthly premiums.
According to the LA Times, that's about $47,000 for a single adult or $97,000 for a family of four.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So these increases will apply to people who buy from Covered California on their own or people who have health insurance through the open market.
Yes.
Without government assistance.
Yes, exactly. Without the government assistance.
Okay.
Right.
So you closely report on these issues. What are you hearing from health insurance companies? Why are they going to increase by an average of 13%?
There are a variety of reasons for it, and some of this comes from health insurance companies. Some of this comes from Covered California. All blame the rising cost of health care, and in particular, they point at the cost of specialty drugs, which we've heard so much about recently. You know, the Harvoni and Sovaldis and many, many other specialty drugs are just, the cost of those are skyrocketing. There's another kind of one-time thing happening. There's a federal program that helps insurers offset the cost of of having to cover very, very sick people. And that has been going on through this year, but that ends. So that is going to increase the cost. Also, you know, just the cost of care. There's also a concern that, this is from the insurers themselves, that some people who sign up during the special enrollment period, which is the period between open enrollments, are kind of gaming the system and are waiting until they're sick to sign up. And therefore, when they sign up, they're very expensive. They have very big claims because they have a reason to sign up. And so the insurers are claiming that these folks are also driving up the costs.
How does that work exactly?
What, the special enrollment? Or?
Right, people who the insurance companies say are gaming the system. How are they doing that?
So what the insurance companies are saying, again, this is from the insurance companies, and Covered California has said that they think it also may be a problem and maybe tightening some of the rules. So you know that you can only sign up for a Covered California or open market plan during open enrollment. And this year, this coming year, is going to be open enrollment is going to be from November 1st through January 31st. Usually you are not allowed to sign up any other time. However, if you have what's called a qualifying life event during the course of the year, this could be having a baby, adopting a child, this could be a divorce, this could be losing your health insurance because you lost your job. There's a variety of things that qualify for what's known as a special enrollment period, and you can legally, sign up during the special enrollment period for insurance. Well, Covered California, up till recently, has not asked anybody to prove that they actually had this event. They wouldn't require documentation and this sort of thing. So they're saying, and the insurers are saying, that people would just sign up. They wouldn't buy insurance because they thought it was too expensive, but then they got sick and they needed insurance, and then they would sign up during special enrollment. And that's how they say that some people are gaming the system.
So the next enrollment period is from November 1st to January 31st, and that is Emily Bazar, senior correspondent and columnist with Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit news service not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. We're also joined by Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog. Jamie, you watch this very closely. You've seen this before, although this time around, this 13% rate hike, that's the average, expected to go into effect in January, is more than 3 times the increases we've seen over the last 2 years. How do you explain this?
Well, I think it's a simple balance of power. We're one of the minority of states. There are 40 states that say health insurance companies have to get approval before raising rates from an insurance commissioner or another similar office. We don't have that in California. We tried to do that in 2014 with Prop 45, and the health insurers spent about $57 million to stop that in a pretty low turnout election. It got 41% of the vote. So we have, in Covered California, 3 health insurers, Anthem, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Kaiser, that control 90% of the market. They don't have to get approval before raising rates. I mean, there has to be a negotiation with Covered California, but the insurance commissioner often says that rates are unreasonable, but he has no power to stop that rate hike. And so they have all the leverage. There is no hammer in the state. And as a result, insurers can raise rates at will. And when they can, they will, particularly when they have such a few number controlling a large part of the market. It's going to get worse if a couple of pending mergers between Anthem and Cigna go through in California, and Aetna and United Healthcare, which is less important in California but still important. So this, I think, is a barometer of things to come outside of Covered California in the individual market and the employer market without rate regulation. The best our state could do is a bill that's on the governor's desk right now that says that when the insurance commissioner or the other regulated Department of Managed Healthcare determine a rate is unreasonable, they actually look at it and say it's not reasonable. There is a bill that says insurance companies have to tell you about that before you pay the premium, but they can charge you that unreasonable or excessive premium. The governor hasn't even signed that bill. The health insurance companies don't like that bill. So we're fighting about whether there should be disclosure about whether people are getting ripped off, not even whether there's anyone in the state with the power to stop them. And that's the fundamental problem right now. You know, there's no one looking at what the insurance companies are saying are higher rates that are justified, And they don't have to answer to anyone in California like they do in other states.
So this bill passed, and it's currently on Governor Jerry Brown's desk?
Yeah, and I have mixed feelings. I mean, it's an Ed Hernandez bill, and he was, as head of the Senate Health Committee, one of the ones who wouldn't agree to health insurance rate regulation in around 2012. And his backup, because he's seen rates go up, is, well, at least consumers should know when rates are too high. At the time, in 12 and 14, when we were trying to get rate regulation, everybody said, no, covered California should have a chance to work. Let's give it a chance. And the insurance companies have closely worked with Covered California. A lot of the top echelon at Covered California come from the health insurance companies, even the ones that negotiate with the insurance companies. So they act more like a broker than a regulator. And the bill is there for the governor to sign. But even if it gets signed, the best we're going to get is a little note in the mail when premiums go up saying, hey, you're getting a 13.2% premium hike, but it's not justified for these reasons, according to the insurance commissioner, but you still have to pay.
What's the name of that bill?
It's a great question. Emily, do you know the bill number?
I don't have it offhand, but I can try to find it.
All right. Well,
it's an Ed Hernandez bill. There's so many numbers.
Yeah, and we're actually going to talk about the bills on Jerry Brown's desk Thursday during our special election show from 11 to noon. So let's talk more about what health insurance companies have to or don't have to tell citizens. I'm glad you mentioned Prop 45, Jamie, because we did a show about this in 2014. Again, this prop would have required health insurance companies to make a case for rate increases, and it had to be approved by the California Insurance Commissioner. As you said, it went down. The health insurance industry spent a whopping $58 million on this. So as it stands right now, the LA Times, again, has a piece about how Blue Shield is asking for the highest rate hike, 19%. Anthem, second highest, they're asking for 16%. Do they have to tell anyone why these rate hikes are so high?
Well, the insurance commissioners do. Department of Managed Health Care actually review rates and determine they're unreasonable, but they just post it on their website. Right now, health insurers have no obligation to notify people when the rates are high or why. They do have to submit to the state a filing that says we're raising our rates and here's our justification. And that's when the insurance commissioner or the Department of Managed Health Care, depending upon who regulates the company, gets to take a look and double-check their math. And in many cases, in the case of a lot of Aetna small business plans and some others from the Blues this year, the commissioner has said, no, those are unreasonable rates, and so is the Department of Managed Health Care. By the way, that bill is SB 908 that requires disclosure for the consumer. But no, consumers don't have to be notified, but they do know, of course, that they're getting they're getting gouged. And the big thing that I have a problem with is not just that rates are going up. It's that over the last many years in California, we have very limited networks of doctors and hospitals. So we have, at last count, one of the worst records among states in terms of when you get a health insurance plan, that you're more likely to have less than 25% of the doctors in a given region in your plan coverage area, which is what we call a skinny network. And because we don't have the oversight, the insurance commissioner can't say, no, that's overpriced because you don't have enough doctors in here. I mean, the price may have to go up at some point, but no one's looking to see whether, you know, the networks are big enough to justify a higher price. And that's just the way it is in the state for too long. I mean, I was the author of Prop 45, and we had a very small $1 million campaign, and we had the California Nurses Association, a low turnout election. And that year, in 2014, the health insurance companies proposed a 4% rate hike. They were very low, knowing they were facing this at the ballot box. I suspect if there was Prop 45 on the ballot now with this type of rate hike, and I think this the individual and small business markets are going to face similar rate hikes once those numbers are known a little later in the fall, you know, they would face a different result on Prop 45 as well as with the turnout. But they're very careful to not raise rates when there's a possible consequence. And the legislature, unfortunately, has just not been willing to give the insurance commissioner or even the Department of Managed Health Care the power to say no to health insurance companies because they're such a powerful force in campaigns and campaign contributions.
Jamie Court is president of Consumer Watchdog, a nonprofit public interest group. Emily Bazar is senior correspondent and columnist with Kaiser Health News. They are independent, not affiliated with the health insurance company Kaiser Permanente. Today, we are talking about insurance rates in California. If you buy insurance through Covered California or on the open market, your rates are going up in January. The average increase is 13%. Again, this only applies if you buy your own coverage. It does not apply if you get coverage from your employer or from a government program. So what questions do you have about this? And we'd love to hear your health insurance stories. If you get coverage from Covered California, how much do you pay and what do you get? Or if you're on the open market, so many friends are buying health insurance about now, and the low is about $300 a month. A lot of people are buying this basically for catastrophic coverage. Their deductibles are really high. So what has your experience been like? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can tweet us at Your Call Radio or leave a comment on our website. So, Emily, what can people do to plan for this? We are in September. We're supposed to see these rate hikes in January. How can people determine whether or not their rates are going to increase by 13% or more?
Yeah, that's a great question. Unfortunately, the Shop and Compare tool, which is what Covered California has on its website that allows consumers to actually put in their information, their age, their zip code, their income, their family size, which determines, you know, how much you will have to pay and how much tax credits you'll get. That they're revamping that, so that's not available to consumers right now. They say it'll be available in October. But if you are currently a Covered California customer, you should receive also in October a letter from Covered California telling you this is what your rate hike is going to be if you want to keep your plan. So it'll tell you what your rate hike is going to be for the plan that you currently have. You are under no obligation as a consumer to keep that plan, and you are allowed to switch during open enrollment. In fact, Covered California says that 80% of customers can either decrease their premiums or cap their rate increases at no more than 5% if they're willing to shop around and buy the lowest cost plan in their metal tier. And I can explain what that is, or in their current level of coverage. So what this is going to mean for a lot of people, and I know this is really difficult for consumers, I know from personal experience, I don't want to change my doctor. But, you know, if you want to, if premium price is the most important thing to you, you may have to switch. And Jamie brought up an excellent point about these narrow networks. Switching means you could possibly keep your doctor. It is possible that your doctor may, or your hospital, if that is important to you, may be in another, covered by another plan. But it is also very likely and possible that they may not be.
And there are these new plans too that came up. They're like in plans called EPOs, which are exclusive provider organizations. So if you go from a PPO where you actually could pick in or out of a network and the amount of reimbursements are different, and you go down to an EPO, what people have to realize is that means you can only go to doctors in that network. And if you go out of that network, unless it's an emergency in a hospital, you're not going to get reimbursement for anything. So the real danger here is you downgrade to a plan that you think covers you, but then when a crisis hits and you're in a hospital, you realize your hospital's not in that network and you don't have a PPO where you're at least going to get some percentage of that cost covered. And that's what worries me. There aren't that many places to shop when you have three plans controlling 90% of the market, and not all of the plans are operable in every county, so Blue Cross and Blue Shield tend not to compete against each other in many of the rural counties. There are a lot fewer choices, so I really don't think there's much you can do to shop. I do think there is one thing you can do. If, to the degree that health insurers are saying higher costs, medical costs are driving these premiums, and I don't buy it, But there are some initiatives on the ballot, like Prop 61, which is going to lower the state cost for purchasing prescription drugs. It's something we're working to pass. That can offer somewhat of a political solution. But on a personal basis, if you shop around, just be very, very careful what you're getting into and make sure you know what the fine print says.
We had a debate about Prop 61 last week, and you can search for that at yourcallradio.org. Jamie, Prop 61 is expected to be even more expensive than the proposition that you wrote last time around, 45. The numbers so far, if I can remember correctly, the health insurance industry...
$90 million as of last week.
It was $82 million, and so it went up to $90. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and the yes side at least has $10 million. We had one-tenth of that. The difference, I think, is this, that we have a presidential election, hopefully a very high turnout election. When we voted on Prop 45 in 2014, not only were health costs less of a concern and covered California just getting up and running, but also... We had the lowest turnout election in California history because it wasn't a presidential election, and our gubernatorial election was already there was no reason for people to come out, and they stayed away. So we are basically in a situation where I think we have a very high turnout election. The drug companies have raised, it's all drug company money, $90 million, but and there are going to be very deceptive ads, much along the line of what the insurers did on Prop 45. But I really think if people know that it's drug companies opposing Prop 61, if they read the disclosures on the bottom of the ad or word gets to them, then that's going to make the difference here. And that's going to start us on the road to more regulation. If we start regulating drug costs, we can start regulating health insurance costs. It's the beginning. It's not the end of anything, but it would be a very important beginning. It would also give the legislature some leverage when they come back in the beginning of the year if Prop 61 passes to say, you know what, drug companies, health insurance companies, hospitals, the public's not standing for these rising costs. You better deal with us. Mm. You better listen to reformers because if you keep blocking everything, you're going to face more ballot measures that do more and more. So I think that is like the most important ballot measure for all those reasons, Prop 61 on the ballot.
And we're going to get to calls in just a minute. But Emily, Jamie mentioned the EPO, which I've never heard of. And because this stuff can be so confusing, how can people know if they're signing up for an EPO rather than a PPO?
Oh, it's pretty clear, and it, he makes an excellent point. I mean, when you're signing up online, which I actually don't recommend you do alone, I think people should get the help from a certified enrollment counselor or a certified insurance agent. It is completely free. It is free, so people shouldn't be afraid to get help to do this because it is very confusing. And some of these folks, especially some insurance agents who are familiar, you know, have been in the industry for a long time, they can help explain all of this stuff to you. But when you're online, you will see, for instance, I'm looking right now at the rate booklet. I can send you guys a link to post on your page. It will give your listeners some idea of which plans will be available to them in their regions and what the average rate hikes by plans are. So I'm looking at San Francisco right now. And in San Francisco, covered California consumers are going to have five plans. I think it's five plans to choose from, although it says all consumer. Actually, six. Five to six. Covered California says six insurance companies to choose from. I just see five. But the HealthNet EPO is offered in San Francisco. Now, the average rate increase for the San Francisco region is 14.8%. That's higher than the statewide increase.
Wow.
But if you look at HealthNet EPO, the average increase for the HealthNet EPO is 22.8%.
22.8,
wow. And so Blue Shield PPO, again, this is where Jamie was talking about the difference between an EPO and a PPO. Blue Shield PPO is 24.2%. If you look at Kaiser Permanente, and again, we're not affiliated with Kaiser, but Kaiser does have lower average increases than Anthem and Blue Shield. Kaiser's average increase in San Francisco is 5.3%. So there is great variation among insurers. Consumers really have to, I hate to say this because it's so complicated, but they need to do their homework and choose very, very carefully. And if you don't mind me saying, you know, another thing that was mentioned was these high deductible plans. Jamie, I think, mentioned that, you know, if you get a bronze plan, which has the cheapest premium, you know, that may be alluring to consumers that, okay, wow, this is a lot less per month. Mm. One thing they have to consider is the the out-of-pocket maximum for a family is $13,600. The deductible is $12,600. And when you go to the emergency room in a bronze plan, you don't pay a copay. You have to pay everything up to the deductible pretty much.
Wow.
For a bronze plan. So you may be out thousands of dollars at once. And so, again, this the lower premium may be alluring, but you're facing potentially really huge out-of-pocket costs. Now, those out-of-pocket costs do go down a little bit if you pay more in premiums every month with the silver, gold, or platinum plans. I know this probably sounds very overwhelming, but yeah, you got to sit down and spend time and look at what your options are. If you're healthy or sick, if you don't use a lot of health insurance, maybe you can risk it, or health treatment. You know, maybe you can risk it and go with a bronze. But if you do use a lot of have a lot of medical care and have a chronic condition, you probably shouldn't.
And again, EPO is exclusive provider organization. It's similar to an HMO. You have to use network providers under an EPO, right?
You have no out of gatekeeper network coverage.
Okay, yeah. And then
without the gatekeeper, yeah. And the HMOs actually have out of network coverage if they can't provide in network something you need. So say you need an expensive surgery; it's going to save your kid's life. Kaiser's going to, when we've done this, we've protested Kaiser to make them give some kids some very expensive surgery at Johns Hopkins. So you actually, in some ways, have more protection with an HMO because they have to have someone in the network to treat you. And if they don't, then you can make an argument to go out of network, as hard as that is. The other thing I was going to say is we noticed last year there are a lot of plans that even if you have a PPO, look at how much you're going to be paying, or they're going to be paying, if you go out of network, because those costs have really gone down. It used to be, like in network, if it was 70% that you'd be covered, out of network, let's say it's 50%. Now it's maybe 50% or 40% up to, in the hospital, $400 a day, which is almost nothing if you're in a hospital. So these terms change so often, and sure is find ways to jiggle with them, that you really do have to read almost everything and think about what might happen to you if you know you're going into a hospital for surgery and your hospital's not in your network. You really should take a look at those out-of-network clauses and see what's actually going to be reimbursed, and talk to your doctor about it if you have to.
And Emily, again, you said do not make these phone calls on your own if you're going to get insurance through Covered California. Again, the open enrollment period starts right before the election. It's November 1st to January 31st. Where can you find an enrollment specialist to help you?
Yes, I do recommend people get help. And again, I want to reiterate that it's free. Consumers can go to the Covered California website, and I'm going to go there right now to make sure I know what it looks like, because it changes now and then. So it's www.coveredca.com. Again, that's www.coveredca.com. And if you look at the top of the page, there's a tab that says Get Help, and underneath that it says Find Local Help. And so consumers can click on Find Local Help, and it's very clear. You can either find a certified insurance agent or a certified enroller in their area close to them.
All right, thank you for that, and we'll put all of this information at yourcallradio.org. Emily Bazar is senior correspondent and columnist with Kaiser Health News. They are independent, not affiliated with the health insurance company Kaiser Permanente. And Jamie Court is president of Consumer Watchdog, a nonprofit public interest group. If you buy insurance through Covered California or on the open market and you do not receive government assistance, your rates are going to increase in January. It depends on where you live, which insurance provider you have, but the average premiums will jump 13%. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling us at 866-798-8255. Our lines are filled up, but when one goes away, you can call in. You can also post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org, or you may tweet us at yourcallradio. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it's the BBC's World Have Your Say. The presidents of the United States and of the Philippines have had some testy and terse words at one another? We'll hear about that on BBC World Have Your Say in just a half an hour. Stay with us.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will have a conversation about down-ticket races across the country. Thursday, what do the 28 unredacted pages from the 9/11 report reveal? What role did the Saudi government play? Why is the U.S. downplaying it? And then Thursday, our election special show from 11 to noon, we'll talk about rent control measures on Bay Area ballots and bills on Governor Jerry Brown's desk. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about health insurance costs in California. If you buy health insurance from Covered California or the open market, your rates will be going up in January. The exact number depends on where you live and which provider you have, but the average will be about 13%. In San Francisco, 14.8%. If you get your insurance through work or a government program, you will not be affected. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. We actually have full lines, but you can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org, tweet us @yourcallradio, or leave a comment on our website. Jamie Court is president of Consumer Watchdog, and Emily Bazar is senior correspondent and columnist with Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit that is not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. And let's hear from Ruth Ann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruth Ann. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You there?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hi, Ruth Ann. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Ruth Ann, Hello? Can you hear us? All right. Let's go next to Ken in San Francisco. Sorry, Ruth Ann. Hi, Ken. Do we have Ken? Are we having phone line issues? Ken, are you with us?
Hello?
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey. So I was an office manager in the mid-90s, and one year...
Ken?
Insurance, and overnight...
I'm sorry, Ken. We can't hear you. Can we go to our next caller? Let's hear from Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Good. Yes. Hi, Greg.
Okay. A couple of things. One is for anybody who thinks that the Democrats in Sacramento are really going to do anything that's going to be useful to people here, I'd like to disabuse them of that. You would think that with the majorities that they have and a governor who's Democrat that they'd be pushing all kinds of progressive agendas, but they're not. And then getting back to this specific issue, I'd just like to ask your guests. I know that a lot of people thought Obamacare, or whatever you want to call it, was going to benefit people, especially people who couldn't get insurance. It's not looking that way now, and I'm wondering what your guests, if they wanted to comment, what's it going to take to get people in the state of California to realize single payer is the only way to go? I mean, this is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. That's my feeling. So I would just be curious about their thoughts.
Well, Jamie, what are your thoughts on this? Single payer passed a few times under Governor Schwarzenegger, and he vetoed the bill. I think it was three times, right?
Well, it was never funded. So the trick on single payer, which I'm for, and I agree with your caller. I mean, I was for the parts of Obamacare that guaranteed coverage to everyone regardless of medical condition, guaranteed that they weren't charged based on that medical condition, stop kind of the shenanigans with the policies. I was against mandatory health insurance until we had rate regulation in California, and we still don't. And this is the problem with the government requiring people buy something that they can't afford, because even the 90% of people who are subsidized are going to see a 13% increase on that sliding scale. It's 13% of whatever their subsidy is. They're still going to pay more. I think to get to single payer, we are going to need a ballot measure. We're going to need a few more years, unfortunately, of these rate hikes where we realize the private insurance market, unregulated, will not satisfy consumers. But it's a tough road because people get health insurance many different ways, through large employers, small employers, individuals, the government. And it's very confusing. It's harder to get a majority of people all feeling the same way so that they make such a big change. I think that'll come if the federal politics allow for waivers. In 2017, that is the first year that California, if it wanted to, could get a waiver to enact a single-payer health care plan that was built into the original Obamacare plan. So feasibly, 2017 would be the first. You'd have to have a friendly federal government. You'd have to have something at the state level that really made it clear that we should get that done. I agree that the legislature is not likely to do that. Maybe our next governor will change that, but it's much more likely to happen via a ballot measure that gets a waiver from a friendly federal government. I think that's the only path forward.
We have a number of emails from listeners about single payer. And Emily, can you tell us about the health insurance lobby in Sacramento? At the national level, it's huge. I mean, just when you look at Obamacare, the health insurance industry, according to ProPublica, spent $100 million to attack it, even as it was negotiating to make it palatable to the industry. What sort of power does the health insurance lobby have in Sacramento?
You know, Rose, I haven't done a lot of reporting on the lobby in particular, except that I know, and Jamie may be able to address this more, it is extremely powerful. The pharmaceutical lobby also is spending, I mean, as you guys already discussed, I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars, as do health plans. When it comes, it's interesting that when it comes to the price of pharmaceuticals, you do kind of have the health plans going up against pharma. But yeah, other than the fact that it is extremely powerful here, I can't add anything very helpful to this discussion, I'm afraid.
Jamie?
Well, having confronted it for about two decades, I can tell you it's one of the more powerful lobbies in Sacramento and well-connected. It gives to Democrats, it gives to Republicans, and its spending's literally, if you look at campaign spending, it's exceeded only by the oil and pharmaceutical lobbies in terms of total overall campaign spending over the last half decade. And so it wields a lot of power, and the evidence of that is the most we could get this year is a bill, which, you know, I don't know why it's all that significant, maybe shaming the health insurers, but there's a bill on the governor's desk that says, hey, people have to be notified if regulators determine their rates are too high. They can't do anything about it, but they have to be notified. And we're not even sure Governor Brown's going to sign that. I would say it's 50-50. He vetoes it. And that's how powerful the health insurance lobby is. He's got a criminal justice initiative. The health insurers have given a lot of money to the Democratic Party. You know, Blue Shield and Kaiser traditionally have been very close on a lobbying basis with the Democrats. And we have, you know, two-thirds, you have a Democratic government. Unfortunately, these big interest groups like the health insurance lobby know that they have to play ball with everybody, and they really do play with the Democrats quite a bit. So I don't think it's really reasonable to believe we'd ever get a single-payer bill that's financed through Sacramento. The reason those bills landed on Schwarzenegger's desk, they were backed by unions, but they also had no financing mechanism. Even if they were passed, someone would have had to come up with a tax proposal. Mm. And that is the trick with single payer, is instead of us paying premiums, it's probably, including employers, it'll probably be like a 6% payroll tax for employers, which is probably less than they're paying for health insurance now. But that kind of tax comes with a two-thirds vote in Sacramento. That kind of tax comes with a lot of political baggage. That financing mechanism is always the trick with single payer. Everybody believes we should have, not everybody, but you know, more than 50% of people now believe Medicare is a good program and it works well, and we should probably extend it to California. But when you start to get into how we're going to pay for it and what that's going to mean, there's all sorts of scare tactics that the insurers can bring out, anti-tax groups bring out, and it's really going to take a lot of anger, which I think is starting this year at these higher rates for premiums, higher rates for drug costs, higher rates, frankly, for hospitals where there are not much competition for hospitals, and the Bay Area is a classic example, to get people on the same page where we might actually pass that ballot measure in 2018, 2020.
Jason writes in, is there any possibility of a state-backed public option?
Yes, and in fact, I think Hillary Clinton is running, as I recall, on a platform of giving every state a real public option. Cooperatives, which were the quasi-public option, have unfortunately been run out wherever they developed by some changes in federal policies, which cut their subsidies. And so these cooperatives, which everybody thought might be a public option, never really developed in California. Covered California didn't really want cooperatives to develop. Have, I think, not been a viable option. There may still be going in a few states, but their financing is been cut out from under them by the federal government. And so I think starting all over with a public option is real, but you got to remember that public option is going to be competing in covered California against three health insurers that control 90% of the market. And we've got to make sure if there is a public option that they don't get all the sick people and the health insurers get all the well people, because that kind of adverse selection, you know, is when you have the danger of the public option competing with the private market. So it's probably much more likely if, let's say, the New York Times says 85% chance or 86% chance this morning that Hillary Clinton wins and she delivers on a plan that states can apply for a public option, and let's say we go for it in California, that may be an incremental building block to getting towards single payer. And I wouldn't be surprised if somehow in California we found the will to try to experiment with that.
Well, thank you for the email, Jason. Today we're talking about health care rates in California. If you buy your insurance through Covered California or on the open market and you don't get it from your employer or government program, your rates are going up in January. The average increase will be 13%. This is more than three times the increase over the last 2 years. The hike will depend on where you live and which insurance provider you have. And we're talking today about this with Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog, Emily Bazar, senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News. They're independent and not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. And let's go next to Ruth Ann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruth Ann.
Yeah, hi there. This isn't specifically about Covered California, but it is about big pharma and private insurance that I'm eligible for Medicare due to disability and did not take out a Part D plan, and then got hit up with a mega expensive injection that I had to take. And when I say mega expensive, it's $30,000 a year on the open market. And no private insurer even covered it till I finally found one, and I went through, and I will tell your reps that I used a health insurance counseling advocate at the El Cerrito Senior Center to help me find the plan, as it were, on Medicare Part D that would cover it. But still, it was out-of-sight expensive. So my comment is not so much about the private insurance market. I think it's this expensive because it's by Eli Lilly, and there is no generic for it.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Ruth Ann. Any comments, Jamie, quickly?
Well, I just think this is increasingly what you're going to see is the only way to moderate premiums, if insurers want to keep making money and keep growing, is they keep trying to find ways to cut off expensive treatments. And then advocate by advocate, you have to battle for it. We filed lots of lawsuits, for instance, to prevent HIV patients from having to get their drugs mail order rather than being able to go to a specialty pharmacy, and we won. But when things like that happen, I would just say to your listeners, call us, go to consumerwatchdog.org, go to the media, go to Emily, because this isn't constantly the pressure between insurers pushing to find new ways to make money by limiting treatment and us having to push back and make sure those treatments are covered. And oftentimes, if they're medically necessary and we can make the case they're medically necessary, we can actually make that happen. But it's a battle, and it shouldn't have to be, but it is.
Well, thank you for calling, Ruth Ann. Let's go next to Thomas in Berkeley. Hi, Thomas.
Hello.
Hi.
I have Covered California. I've had it 2 years, and I've yet to see a doctor. Luckily, I'm not sick, but I can't even get a checkup.
Why not?
Well, I have the subsidy, so the state pays about $600, and I pay around $30. And they gave me a big list of doctors to go see. And none of the doctors would accept my policy. So I complained, and I went to the state-run, the people who oversee the health insurance companies, and they put in a complaint for me to Blue Shield, and they sent me a letter saying I was denied. And all I was asking for was a doctor.
Thomas, stay on the line. Emily, have you heard of this before?
Yes. I mean, gosh, Thomas, sorry you had to go through this. This is a huge problem, but there actually may be a little bit of a bright spot on the horizon, actually right now, for consumers. On July 1st of this year, SB 137, which is another Senator Ed Hernandez bill, went into effect. And this bill is requiring, you know, what Thomas came across was in part probably narrow network, you know, that we discussed before, the limiting of the number of doctors and hospitals that participate in this plan. But number two, there are major inaccuracies with health insurers' provider directories. So people like Thomas will look at these directories and see a doctor, they'll call the doctor, the doctor will say, we don't accept patients, or the doctor will say, we don't participate in that plan, or we're not accepting new patients, you know. So this has been a huge long-term problem that predates Obamacare, but this law just went into effect that is putting some really stringent requirements on insurers. They are going to have to update their directories much, much more frequently. And thankfully, it also gives consumers some firepower that if you end up going to a doctor you found in your directory, showing as in-network, and the insurer bills you saying that the doctor was out-of-network, because that often happens as well, you can file a complaint and get reimbursed the amount, up to the amount you would have paid for an in-network doctor. So, yeah, this is a huge problem, and it probably has to do both with narrow networks and inaccuracy. And, Thomas, I guess my advice to Thomas would be to call the insurer if he hasn't done so already and tell him that, well, he did. He went to a complaint. I was going to say he should call DMHC, Department of Managed Healthcare. And did he go back, Thomas, did you go back to DMHC and ask for an appeal or see if they could help you anymore?
Yes, I sent another appeal, but also in the last 4 months, once a month I would call Blue Shield and tell them that I need a list of doctors. Mm-hmm. And they would say, yes, okay. And I'd talk to them, and then they'd finally say, okay, we're going to send you a list of doctors, but what's your address? We want to confirm that. And I'd confirm my address, and they'd say, okay, we'll send you in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Every month,
and you never send
me anything.
The interesting thing is the Department of Managed Healthcare allegedly solved this problem with a settlement months ago. We actually have a lawsuit that's in the process of settling with Blue Shield over this very issue, because we find that the state, even when, you know, they say, oh, there's a law in effect and people call to enforce it or the insurer, they just don't recognize it. So, Thomas, you should try to get a hold of us for sure at consumerwatchdog.org, because we're literally in the process of trying to settle a lawsuit, and we're showing that this practice is ongoing despite the fact that people claim it's changed. And this is the constant problem with health insurance. It's a battle every day. Mm-hmm. It's a battle every day. But I think we're on the verge of trying to fix this. The idea that you won't have a doctor who would see you, it's just already against state law, frankly. They have to provide a doctor. And if they have misrepresented the directories, that's what our lawsuit's about, trying to fix.
Well, Thomas, good luck. And again, contact Consumer Watchdog if you need more help. You know, every time we do a show about health insurance, we always are inundated with phone calls and emails from people who are having specific problems. I mean, other than emailing you, Emily, or emailing you, Jamie, what else can people do so they're not given the runaround week after week, or in some cases, month after month?
You know, there's as Thomas mentioned, you have regulators in the state, and the vast majority of plans are regulated by the Department of Managed Health Care, and some are regulated by the Department of Insurance. But I actually think I advise people to contact, you can Google this, and I can also send you guys the list of numbers to put on your website, the Health Consumer Alliance. By counties, there are groups like Northern, I'm not going to get the name exactly right, but Legal Services of Northern California and that sort of thing, and they have been given funding to represent both Medi-Cal and Covered California customers, and are really, you know, they're swamped, but they're really wonderful advocates. So you call them and they will help you. Another option is to, if you're on Medicare like Ruthann was, there's a group called HICAP. Just Google HICAP, HICAP. They offer free Medicare counseling to people, and it's really valuable. I mean, again, you're going to have to be your own advocate, and you're going to need to find help where you can, unfortunately.
And if you're in the workplace, your employer's HR department should offer some some help if you really run into problems.
Exactly.
And before we end, we've got a couple emails about pre-existing conditions. Jessica writes, let's not forget that before the Affordable Care Act, insurance rates already went up by huge amounts. When I bought my own insurance, United Health routinely raised my premiums by 50 to 60% every year, and I don't have the option to switch plans since I had a pre-existing condition. And then Tim writes, I'm confused when you say that the same plans are available without going through Covered California. If you have anything which would be considered an existing condition, my experience is that insurance companies want nothing to do with you. But Emily, under Obamacare, pre-existing conditions no longer get in the way, or they're not supposed
to,
right?
They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to. And I wonder if you've had any problems since the since 2014. But no, I mean, even outside of Covered California, insurance companies are by law required to accept you regardless of your medical history. I mean, that I think a lot of people agree is one of the most important things that Obamacare did.
All right, so we've got about a minute left. So come January, the average rate increase will be 13%, depending on where you live and which provider you have. Emily, final thoughts on this? What happens in the future? I mean, will these costs just keep going up?
Yeah, I think, you know, affordability is something that I have written a lot about in my consumer column and is going to continue to be a huge problem for people. I mean, you know, Thomas just called in, and it sounds like he's getting very, very generous subsidies. A lot of people are getting generous subsidies, and the ACA has been very helpful for them to get covered. But then if you make more money, if you make above 250% of the federal poverty level or 300, you still get some subsidies, but you still have a lot of out-of-pocket costs. Or if you make more than, you know, 400% of the federal poverty level, you're paying all the premium by yourself, plus in some cases, extremely high out-of-pocket costs. So, I mean, this affordability question is somehow going to need to get answered because it just seems like it would be I feel grateful that I have employer-sponsored insurance. I'd be afraid to expose myself financially in to some of these circumstances.
Mm. Well, Emily and Jamie, we'd love to have you back before the open enrollment in period begins in November. It's November 1st to January 31st because people always have questions when we do these shows. Emily Bazar, senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News. They are independent and not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. And Jamie Court is president of Consumer Watchdog. Emily and Jamie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, we'll discuss key down ballot races. Democrats need to keep the 46 seats they hold in the Senate and win 5 more to gain a majority. In the House, Republicans dominate, suggesting an unlikely shift in party control. Republicans also outnumber Democrats in state legislatures and governor seats across the country. So what's at stake in battleground races? Tweet your questions and comments to @YourCallRadio and join us live at 10 a.m. with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show. Malihe Razazan is senior producer. Matt Martin is executive producer. And Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.